Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Transformation Zone. I'm your host, Velton Schowell, and after a brief hiatus, we're back again, and we're here today, and we're excited to be here because we're actually going through a transformation, and you know that's part of my platform. That's why it's called the Transformation Zone. When we talk about transformation, we talk about a few things, and we're going to get into some of that this evening because there's some things that have been heavy on my mind that I want to share with you as we really get into 2018. We're in April, and we're about 5 months in, and things have gone very well for many of us, and for some of us, we have areas of opportunity that we want to improve, that will allow us to increase our income, improve our performance, and really become more of a dominating force in the markets or areas or arenas that we exist in. You know, there's three things that I always talk about: income, performance, and market domination. I remember working in the hotel business for many, many years and working with some very creative people and some visionaries, and one of them took a page out of Ray Kroc's book, and he always said to us that he didn't believe in market share because he didn't share his market with anyone. And in reality, in today's environment, you almost have to take that kind of an attitude in anything that you do, whether you're in sales, whether you're an entrepreneur who's running a business, whether you are a vice president or a general manager or at an executive level, because ultimately you are responsible for growth and advancement in a market, in an office, in a field of endeavor, an industry, so to speak. So we're going to talk a little bit today about leadership and creating that type of environment that allows people to flourish and allows people to be creative. I want to tell you, I was talking to two very good friends of mine a couple of weeks ago, and many of you know Shea Brown and Trevor Otts, and we're doing some things to help my business. And one of the things that Trevor, who I just think is an amazing visionary, was talking to me about, he said, you know, what is it that makes you different than everybody else? And I said to myself, what is my differentiating factor? What makes me unique in a world of parity? What makes me stand out in an area where everybody is grabbing for a piece of the pie? And I guess there's a couple of things that came to mind. And you know, one of the things that really stuck home, or really drove home with me, was my passion for helping other people, my passion for coaching other people and serving other people and watching them grow and become the best that they can be. You know, it's great for you to soar individually, but to me it's more important that you create other leaders, other success people that are being successful because of something that you were able to help them with, pour into them, or help them create or find that inner peace of their own self. So one of the things that we talked about was creating an atmosphere for the business leaders of tomorrow, creating an environment that allows the business leaders of tomorrow to come into it, learn, earn, and return. I sound like my good friend George Frazier. You know, our responsibility is to learn, earn, and return. And so therefore, one of the things that we're going to really focus on in the coming months, in the coming years, is developing the business leaders of tomorrow. And so with that said, one of the things I had to ask myself is, what is a business leader, or what does a leader really do? And I said, you know, there's no organization out there that doesn't have some kind of leadership in it. Great organizations and great people recognize that you can lead many, but before you lead many, you must be able to lead one. So you have to lead yourself first. And I, you know, as I thought about that, I said, you know, how do you lead yourself, making the right decisions, going in the right direction, planning, giving yourself the opportunity to be successful, surrounding yourself with other people that want to be successful. So I guess the question I have is, how many people out there really agree with me that you have to lead by example? I was always taught, if you want people to view you a certain way, you have to act a certain way. You don't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk. When I was working in that same company, there was a slogan that they used to use. And when they were developing us as leaders, they said, if you expect people to look, act, and dress a certain way, you must look, act, and dress even better than what you expect. If you expect people to show up on time, you must be earlier than the time that you expect others to get there. And the saying that went with that is, early is on time is late, and late is left out. And that's something that we as executives and people need to understand. Some cultures, that's a real issue, being on time. Being there before you're actually expected to be there. You know, Willie Jolly always talked about showing up. Andy Enriquez talks about showing up, being there, showing up with a plan, showing up on time with a plan, showing up with on time with a plan and executing that plan, showing up on time with a plan and executing that plan with excellence. Those are the things that a leader brings to the equation for everyone. So as leaders, we must work on ourselves first, take inventory of how we act and how we behave. You know, to give you an idea, I came to South Florida. And when I came to South Florida, I came here to work with an entrepreneur. He was a developer. He was the owner of the first African-American owned and developed resort in the country. The project was not an easy project. It was a very tough situation. But we had to pull it off. And to do that, the leadership had to assemble a team. We had to assemble a team that was willing to weather the storm, because it was a storm. We were in a situation where we were selling a dream, because the building that we were selling, the resort that we were selling, hadn't opened yet and wasn't scheduled to open for a few months, was under construction, and there were construction delays. So we learned as we went. There were lessons that we were learning that I still keep with me to this day. You know, now I own my own business, and I understand some of the issues and areas of opportunity that that entrepreneur had, as well as the general manager who was directly responsible for the operation, the daily operation of the hotel or the resort, was thrust into. You know, the general manager actually was somebody that I had known for many, many years, and I really admire. You know, I got to know him better when we partnered on that project, but at the end of the day, he was thrust into a situation with the rest of us that none of us totally understood where we were going or how we were going to get there. But everybody's eyes in the country, South Florida, they were on us. So there was very little margin for error. And in your business, when you're starting out, when you're developing things, there are going to be times where the margin for error is very small. The margin for getting into a difficult situation is very, very very, very possible. But, and you've got to figure out a way to make it happen. So there's a couple of things that, that we did, and there's a couple of things that I want to talk to you about right now. The first thing that we had to do, and this is something that you have to do if you're an owner, if you're not an owner, but in your everyday life. If you're running a business, if you're running a club, if you're running anything, as the leader, you have to be able to share your vision. You have to tell the people that are working around you and with you what it is you've what your vision is. How do you see this project going? How do you see things happening? What's going on here and how you envision them becoming a part of it and helping it become successful? What is your vision? How great is your vision? And you have to really expand upon it, be able to communicate it to them so that they understand, allow them to ask questions. And one of the biggest things that I learned through my career is it's okay to say, I'm not sure yet. That's something I really have to think through. I'm open to suggestions. I'd like to hear your opinion on that. It's still your vision, but it doesn't have to be perfect. You're shaping it. You're shaping the diamond. You're putting things in perspective so that everybody involved has an opportunity and a willingness and a thirst to buy into your vision and help it become a reality. As that visionary, as that person sharing the vision, you have to remember something. It doesn't, as I said, it doesn't have to be all-encompassing because you have a vision, not a task list. The task list comes later. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes because the thing that I just alluded to that's extremely important is the people around you. You know, I read a book not too long ago, and the book was called Going From Good to Great by Jim Collins. And he talked about getting the right people on the bus and getting the wrong people off the bus. If it's a startup, many times there aren't any wrong people on the bus until you put them there. But if it's an existing company, you may come into a situation where there are great people, but some people may be misplaced, misguided, misdefined, or misunderstood. So your responsibility as the leader is to determine who they are, where they are, and whether or not they're in the right place. So getting the right people in the right positions, getting the right people on the bus is extremely important to your success because, remember, you're sharing your vision. You're expecting them to help you develop and shape your vision. Steve Jobs said, we hire great people or brilliant people not to tell them what to do, but for them to tell us what needs to be done. So if you surround yourself with the right people, if you're hiring the right people and placing them in the right areas of responsibility, the success of your vision, the success of your project, the success of your business is more reassured than it would be if you were just there by yourself or if you had the wrong people. The next thing that I think is extremely important is investing in those people. Many companies, especially in the last, I'd say 5 years, or let's go back a little further than that to when the market crashed in 2007 and 2008, one of the first things that many companies did is they really cut back on training. They cut back on investing in their people because they did not want to incur the additional expense at the bottom line. But issue is if you don't invest in your people, you're taking one of your most valuable resources and putting it on the shelf. Because people who feel as though you're investing in them have a much better chance of investing in you and investing in your vision and your dream. Because now they understand that there's caring. And I have to be really honest with you. In today's environment, most major corporations, the loyalty factor is very, very, very weak. There's not a lot of loyalty out there. The loyalty is really people investing in themselves. So we have to really make sure that we are investing in our people, because those same people that we're investing in help us develop a plan to support our vision. Let me say that again. Those same people that we're investing in are the people that we're entrusting to help us develop a plan to support that vision. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of nonprofit organizations. And one of the things that I find there is that, especially with the small, single-person businesses or the single or small nonprofit organizations, is they're there and they're working very hard. They're very diligent about what they want to do, and they have a vision. They have a very strong vision, but when you talk to them about the strategic plan, the strategic plan is usually in a couple of different ways. One, either they don't have one, and there's only a few of them in this day and age that don't have one, or they have one, they've written it, but they're not following it. Something happens that takes them out of kilter. They stop following it. They go a different direction. They start doing things differently. And you say to them, what's the plan say? Well, the plan says I should be doing this. Have you done that? Well, no, we decided not to do that. Okay. What did you decide to do? Well, we're going this way and we're doing, where's it written? What's your expectation now that you're doing this? What's the result that you're expecting from that? And how are you going to get from point A to point B? And many times they can tell you verbally, but they can't show you. So if they're telling you verbally, the communication to the people on the team doesn't exist unless that individual is there to speak to them personally. If it's a part of your strategic plan, they can refer to it. It doesn't have to be on paper. This is the age of computerization. It can be placed in a network. It can be placed on a drive. It can be placed in an area on the internet where everybody can access it via their desktop, laptop, iPad, Surface Pro, Droid, whatever their modus operandi or whatever their vehicle for gaining information is, they have the ability to access it. So to have a strategic plan that's placed somewhere that people can actually use it. Strategic plans are living, breathing documents. You know, as I said, I'm going back to the days of corporate America. I used to go into offices and I'd see these strategic plans in the binder. And they'd be there and they'd have dust on them, which meant nobody ever touched it. 2 to 3 months every year writing a strategic plan for our business. And at the end of the day, nobody looked at it. Nobody touched it until somebody from the corporate office came in and said, hey, we're going to do a strategic plan review. So we need you to be ready when we get there. And we'd go through painstaking hours and hours and hours to make sure that everybody was on cue. And then we got smart. We started not only annual strategic plans, but something that I would encourage each of you to do, which is a quarterly action plan in addition to the annual strategic plan. What do I mean? Well, the quarterly action plan means it's something that you update every 90 days. And you look at what you said you were going to do versus what you did, what you wanted to accomplish versus what you accomplished, what worked versus what didn't work, redefine, reevaluate, and re-energize toward reinforcing and reestablishing your goals. So again, today what we talked about are three things. We talked about, number one, sharing a vision. Number two, investing in your people. And number three, developing a strategic plan with your team to support your vision. Because when you transform your team, they will transform your vision. And when you transform your vision, you will transform your business. And it all goes back to that thought process. Transform your thinking, and you'll transform your world. Thanks for spending some time with me. We're going to revisit a few more of these ideas next Thursday at 5 p.m. when we will be bringing you for the second time in 2018 the Transformation Zone. I'm your host, Velton Schauer. Thanks again. Have a wonderful evening.